Bearing the burdens of wrong.
Go use the money. Fix the door.
Oh, I'm not gonna have to still paint it. I'm gonna put the gutter up.
On 1 Peter 3:9, it says, do not repay evil with evil. And I'm just gonna read this here.
Cash will be fine. Cash will be fine.
On January 30th, 2018, almost 38 years after his conviction, Malcolm Alexander walked out of a free man. DNA evidence clear Alexander, who had steadfastly maintained his innocence, ain't a myriad of court proceedings that were tragically unjust. Defense attorney later disbarred shoddy evidence and dubious investigation tactics all put an innocent man in prison for nearly 4 decades. When he was finally released, however, Alexander showed immense grace. "You cannot be any angry," he said. "There's not enough time to be angry." Alexander's word evidence a deep grace. If injustice robbed us of their 38 years of our lives and destroyed our reputation, we will likely be angry, furious. Though Alexander spent many long, heartbreaking years bearing the burden of wrong inflicted upon him, he wasn't undone by the evil. Rather than exerting his energy trying to get revenge, he exhibited the posture Peter instructed: do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. The scriptures go a step further. Rather than seeking vengeance, the Apostle Paul tells us we are to bless. We extend forgiveness, the hope of well-being for those who have unjustly wronged us. Without executing the evil actions, we can meet them with God's scandalous mercy. On the cross, Jesus bore the burden of our wrong, that we might receive grace and extend it to others, even those who have wronged us. Without excusing your actions, how can you extend mercy to others who have wronged you? What will it mean for you to bless them? God, it's hard not to want those who hurt me to hurt. This is much. Help me live out your mercy and your grace. Amen. What do you guys think about that? Who you wanna? How you get all that stuff first?
I thought you were reading about this.
Yeah.
What you
and I did prison ministry for about 3 years, born in Zephyr Hill School, made that mental prison or whatever. And it's amazing, you go in there and you talk to those guys. How many of them are innocent? Everyone?
They're all innocent, yeah.
Wonderful. Every guy's.
It was like Hogan's Heroes, right?
Yeah.
I did nothing?
Yeah.
I saw nothing?
I knew nothing.
Now, I got a brother who's in prison now. He's been there for about 35 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Up in Stark, rapist prison.
Pardon?
Yeah, for killing somebody. He's guilty. He doesn't know if he actually killed anybody.
Ham and cheese omelet and grits.
Yep.
He and two friends of his together were high on drugs. He went to burglarize an apartment, and the guy came home, and they wound up killing him. And between the three of them, none of them know who killed the guy. They're all three guilty. Yeah, they're very high. Oh, okay. They're to the point where they don't know who actually killed the guy. But he's well aware of his guilt in the situation. But what's unique about it is the other two, people involved in the crime have been out of prison for 15 years now. And he's still there. Just, who knows why? I mean, it's the random way the situation works.
Wow. Does he violate or something? Or is he troubling?
No, it's a matter of, fact. He's like an essential part of the prison staff now. He does all of the maintenance repairs there. Actually, we do have a theory. That's probably very true.
They're keeping him valuable. They're keeping him guilty.
Yeah. He's worked in every department in the prison, and he
has too much time training.
Anytime there's maintenance to be done, yeah, he does it. At one point, they reorganized the prisons, and they transferred prisoners between prisons, because they wanted to put, like, all the older people in one.
Changed
and,
them up.
Yeah. And he was on a bus to go to another prison, and they were, like, 50 miles down the road when the warden called him back. Because he found out my brother was on and he wanted him back. Because he was essential personnel. But anyway, he's still there. I don't know if he'll ever get out.
How many years did they give him?
All right.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
But he qualified for parole 15 years ago. Denied. Well, his name doesn't even come up for it.
Really?
Yeah.
But he's carrying it.
The warden. Matching that off.
Well, I think the whole parole thing is real controversial. There's a lot of political stuff going on with the whole parole system.
Can you imagine being in prison for an extended amount of time, say almost 40 years? What was the world like 40 years ago compared to now?
Well, there's no doubt. You
no cell phones. No way, man.
Burt Lancaster?
No.
Oh, okay.
Birdman Hatchcastle.
Yeah.
The one up in Maine. Morgan Freeman was in that. Tim Robbins.
Oh,
yeah.
Shawshank.
Hey. That's
a good movie.
Travel.
Well, it's still a brand thing right away because they don't know how to live in the rest of the world.
Oh, I knew it was like that.
Scrabble. Well, I know, saying that, because I've been taking those classes over there, that I tell you, it's so invigorating to be able to go there because everybody that's there is there for a reason. And they want to be there. And the anointing, just walking in there, the people, they're there because they want to pray with people, they want to help people and all that. And Pastor Boaz, Pastor Boaz came in there the other day. That's Saturday. And he was saying, he said, man, this is incredible here, because just the anointing and the excitement of the people that are there. And it's just really been great because it's hard sometimes to find that, you know. And there's, somebody sent me a something in the email about a pastor that says, man, just shut the church down, man, you know. And I said, you know, I wouldn't agree with that. So anyway, I read the article, and basically what it was just saying that you don't want to be there, don't be there. You know, if you go there, don't do nothing, be a part of the church or do whatever, just don't come, leave, get out of the church, leave, you know. Don't take up a needed space, you know. It was pretty interesting.
What's Boaz's first name?
Who's Boaz? The pastor or the, yes. I don't know.
I know what Boaz
is. Well, he was a teacher over there at Countryside. That's where Brian. Brian, got his, went through the college there.
Yeah.
So.
someone. That's not a real common name.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, but you're saying this.
No, he's probably about 60. Really nice guy.
Well kept.
Yeah. Yeah, he's also a realtor.
Yeah. Tell Mahoney said hi.
It's a great group of people.
Uh-huh.
Diverse group of people.
They are.
Besides that, they're all different.
You know, like, I mean, there's been a whole bunch of people there that I've, throughout the years I've come in contact with, and we've done ministry with one former, Jackie is there. I mean, she used to make sandwiches for us when we did the homeless outreach back in the day.
Oh, you mean Jackie Brown?
Yeah, Jackie Brown.
She's a chaplain with us, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Downtown Jackie Brown. What a character.
That just shows you somebody's heart.
She's a wonderful person.
And the thing that I have, I'm so glad that I'm taking this because I'm learning so many things about like nursing home ministry and the different, you know, how to, the different things that go on, you know, as we get older and all that, and I don't think about none of that stuff, you know. And
yet you're knocking on the door.
Yeah.
Well, that's the funny part, because God has set eternity in our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really think our age, we think with God because we're still 20 and 30 years old. Until you try to cross the street.
Until
you bend down and you need something to help you get up again. You know, so God has set eternity in your heart. And it's... You could see then the value then that comes from the Word of God, that God has set eternity in your heart, and you have a hope, a sure expectation of what's to come.
Yeah.
And when you go and you visit and you see people, and you actually bring that to them.
Wow.
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 You know, it's like you, Sam, when you remember being on the street and sharing Jesus Christ with somebody and they actually accept, wow. It's like, it's got to be one of the greatest things that ever happened in a person, in a Christian's life. You know, for someone to be led to the Lord and you had your finger in the pie, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, and it was like, you just say, oh, well, you know, God did this in me, and He set eternity in my heart. So what are you going to do? Hold on to it? Keep it? Not share it? You're a gazillionaire. And you're keeping the gift to yourself? No, you can't. You just can't.
You know where I went wrong, in a sense, was that I wanted to live to the Lord, get into church, I mean, get the whole salvation that thing, you know? And so my guilt came in that, you know, like, I had no place to take them, you know, how can we disciple them, how we can do all that. And so, you know, I'm playing God, and so that, you know, or that's what I wanted to do. And so, like, my concern was about, you know, so you leave something to the Lord, you pray for them, and they are just, you know, but now what do you do with them, you know? And I mean, you send them somewhere, go wherever, go find a good church, you know, like they say on TV, find a good church or on the radio, a good Bible believing church and all that. That's all you can do, you know, because you can't do anything else, you know? You know, you're just one person.
I had Jack the Random.
Huh?
I'll never forget the first person to Christ. And that's exactly what she said. She said, what now? And I go, good point. So we started a Bible study. And that way, we said, invited her and anybody else who wants to come to the Bible study. And at least we could disciple them a bit through the Word.
Yeah. Jacaranda's 300 people full of head trauma. And the different sections where it goes from good to bad to worse. And you talk about...
It's a great place. I love it.
Yeah. So David fits right in there.
Oh. You know?
And him and...
Head trauma.
And Chaplain Al. I mean, this guy is like non-vet. And when he tells some of his stories about... they lost his paperwork, so all of a sudden they thought he was like a Marine SEAL. So he thought anytime they ever asked for a volunteer, he would always raise his hand because he thought something good was happening. And then he'd get pushed out of a helicopter, landing his head in the rice paddy, and the other guys had to pull his head out. You know? And he's one of the chaplains, and he's just a great guy to bring joy, you know. And he is really a miraculous miracle that he's still alive, because he's got so many, you know, he was poisoned by Agent Orange and, you know, really.
On and on.
Yeah. He'd go right back as soon as he got healed and get back into this, you know, war. And, but it takes some characters, you know what I mean, to I've been to hell and back. So if you want a minister, come to Jacaranda. And the, like they would say, and I remember him saying, and you know, a lot of them can't figure out too much, you know. He says, but we got him singing a song. Amen. 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 Yeah, and you only need one word, so hey, that's perfect, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember Dave saying, some of the greatest response was through Bible study. Now these people can't put things together, but they could understand Bible study. Now what the heck is that? That doesn't make any mental sense.
Divine.
It is divine.
Yeah.
You showed a video about a man.
That was fantastic. You should see the whole thing. Oh my God.
Oh, that one. That was good.
But you're talking about the old man.
The old man that was there like that his whole life. He was music and this and that.
The black dude?
Yes. Black dude.
Inside alive.
Yeah, inside alive. And then he put the headset on there with the music. And all of a sudden, man, he just came out of it, you know. And he'd be singing and all that, you know.
Even more remarkable is he was very lucid afterwards. You know, they could ask him questions,
he'd
answer.
Mm.
Well, believe me, he
wouldn't
be able to.
But that other guy, now this guy, well, what's his name?
Ron something.
Yeah, it's a YouTube, like, that when he was born, he was aborted or whatever, but he went through a horrific life. Being abused sexually, mentally, physically, the whole nine yards by everything. You see,
if you watch that, you want to get up and get out.
Yeah, and it was such a great thing that he started telling a story about somebody, and then that story turns out to be him. And it turns out that, you know, everything that happened to him, in reality, you know, the guy wouldn't be around, you know. He would hate to be abused, everything. Things been brought and stuck in place.
He was 10 years old.
Yeah. But he's a phenomenal speaker, pastor. It's incredible. But with God's head, you know, that no matter what things you went through, I mean, he's there. He loved God, man.
Wow. Well, what he paid thanks for, really touches me as much as it touched Andre too, and you and anybody who's been gone for the any of places there. But the turning point in his life is a woman who took him on as a project, and she had a Gideon Bible. Somebody had given her a Gideon Bible, and because that Gideon Bible, she gave that Gideon Bible to him. He read it front to back. He memorized, started memorizing the verses.
How you doing?
It changed his whole life. It changed his whole people. So he gave thanks. Not just only to the woman who gave that, but who gave that Gideon Bible to the woman. He also
But you know what's good about that, again, like for me, I mean, like, been so involved in ministry and so many stuff that you forget things, and just giving that man that Bible, that little kid that Bible, he read it front, back, in, out, and it's the Word of God.
Amen.
Not me, not you, it's the Word of God. And so it's so invigorating to hear these stories and to see the joy in people's lives that they're, you know, like many times, you know, be straight up with you, Andre. Many times that I said, man, this guy, you know, in this nursing home thing, man, I'll be straight up with you. And, but now I have a better vision, better understanding through that, and the heart that it takes to do that type of ministry. And I'm learning some stuff, you know, that is good.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say it right now that that's my ministry. But
but it could be part.
I have a better understanding.
It could be part. You know.
Okay. I'll let you say good morning. There you go.
There's room at the table for you.
That's right.
There's room at the table for you.
Your voice. Bring a cup of water.
Yeah. This is that coffee wine, that wine coffee.
You know, they were
going around that way.
They were talking about, like, we go into the hospital or something like that, and you know, using the cell phone. One day I went to visit MC when he was in
You're
the
right
hospital,
there,
and I put on YouTube, and boy, we were jamming, weren't we? My brother, he was just singing
with
in there.
Music, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's just great.
Music is such a great vehicle, and when I realized that Ephesians 5:19, sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, make a melody in your heart, that was written 23 years after Jesus left this earth. So when you read Ephesians, you think, oh, this is a book that's been written, you know, recently or something. But how, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, to know to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and make a melody in your heart, that it would be powerful enough to remember scripture by, okay? Because the psalms were sung, verses were taken, and songs were made out of them. Everybody knows Psalms 42, right? As the deer panted for the waters, so my soul longeth after thee. Right? I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. And I guarantee you sing that song three times and you just change your attitude.
Yeah.
You know? And so singing was the vehicle that was their paper, because they didn't have books. They didn't have writings. They had songs to remember things by. And because, you know, we take for granted everybody who here doesn't have 10 Bibles in there, you know? You got this, that, and then now you have a phone, you have 27. And you go, the Word is here, and yet the Word of God says that in the last days there will be a famine of the Word of God. Not of food, but of the Word of God. What has happened? Well, people have gone away from the Word, and look what's occurring. And so when you bring the Word back into a situation, all of a sudden you have a true measurement to measure by.
The Word. We got Bibles, we got lexicons, we got boards, we got all that stuff. And you know, I can have one of the worst days that I've ever had, for whatever reason. And I can come home and I tell my wife, I'm going in my music room. She's listening to going there. I get my guitar out and I praise the Lord. And I don't care how bad that day is, but I come out of there, it's
different. Right? Amazing, isn't it? And that's what, like, Inside Alive is all about, when they put the earbuds in. And it really didn't matter if, you know, you were a big band fan or you were a classical fan, or it was whatever it was when you were younger. And I'll tell us a testimony about this song. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. In that bright land where, I love this part, we'll never grow old.
Yeah,
I love that verse. And because the old stallion ain't what he used to be, you know? And so I sing this song to this lady, and she starts bawling, right? She's like 72 years old. She's in the nursing home. So I finish the song. I don't get distracted by her tears. And I ask her finally in the end, I says, What brought you to tears? She says, my two daughters died of drug overdoses, and my third one is doing the same. And my grandmother used to sing that song to me over and over again when I was 6 years old. Now, what's the chances of picking that song? You know? And you go, ah, that's a story for the books to write in, you know? It is. The Holy Spirit inspired, you know, because I probably know 300-400 songs, you know, and I don't know them by memory. I just know them by, give me a word and I'll start singing. It's like it sparks somewhere, you know. It's like a spark plug in the motor, you know. No spark plug, no power.
Chris, what's going on?
I do to you.
Yeah. How you doing, Ben?
How's Miss Linda?
Linda's doing better mentally.
Always good for you, yeah.
Yeah.
How you doing physically?
Physically, I've been having problems with my leg. Not my foot, but my leg. All of a sudden, I couldn't walk. It swelled up behind it, the muscle behind it. And it was really difficult to walk. So I called in yesterday from the... Had Linda had a cardiologist, and I called in work and said, I'm going to make it in, because I don't think I can make it through the day, walk, you know, so I had to deal with that.
That's a new area of life.
Right. You know, plus I operate the machine sometimes. It's almost like if I could just do a hard for driving. But I don't just drive. When it's downtime from driving, I'm doing all the...
Well, that's also why you still have a job.
Right. But I'm not complaining about
people are willing to work. You keep them.
But it's being a prisoner in your own body is what I'm hearing through this whole thing, conversation. You have people be a prisoner in many different ways, whether it's in a criminal system, whether it's
mental
home, you know, and even when you grow older, because you remember your youth, you used to be able to do all these things and not have a second thought about it, and all of a sudden you're struggling with them, and you can't accomplish what you want to accomplish, because physically you can't do what you used to do. Or you wear out faster.
Yeah, one of the favorite songs in nursing home. The old gray mare, she ain't what she used to be. So in our cases, it's the stallion.
Right. I picked up on that when you mentioned that earlier.
And, you know, so that song's been being sung for decades. And who would ever think that we would get to this position where we're in today? I was just 20. And,
inside.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't think you ever lose it.
No, and that's why, see, when the word says God has set eternity in your heart, that's why you feel like that. So whether you're saved or unsaved, I heard a message recently that there's only two races of people in the world, and that's them. Ones who believe, and ones who don't believe. I don't care if you're yellow, black, or white, you are precious in His sight. There's two races in the world, saved and unsaved. We have the choice in our lives.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. Yesterday I was, I went over to Charlie's last night, and in Corinthians they're talking about, about the victory, you know, that we won the victory. But I was telling people that, you know, that the greatest thing that God has given us is our mouth to declare His work. And based on that book that was thought about, the Lord just had to say, based on that, that people are not doing anything, I said, look, we have the one thing in our life, if you don't need to go to seminary or cemetery or whatever you want to call it, and all this training and all, you don't need to do that. All you have to do is one, the gospel, this is the gospel. I told him, Jesus loves you. That's the gospel. That's all you got to say.
Yep.
If you can't say anything else, Jesus loves you. You know how many times I've said that to people? That's it. And tears coming down.
Stunning to them.
Yeah, it's incredible. And
somebody loves me?
Yeah, you know, you go back to that scripture that says, you know, if we don't glorify Him, the rocks will glorify Him, you know? And the thing is you don't have to have all this. You don't have to be all that. Just say Jesus loves you with an honest heart, and that'll penetrate through that heart. And simple. I mean, we have the greatest job that was given to us, and that's to share the gospel and love our people.
Yeah.
I'm coming around you on that side.
All right.